Hi, this is Mike Verdiccio. Welcome to another podcast here on ConfidenceAndJoy.com. Thanks for taking the time to listen. It's Saturday night, May the 12th, 2012. And once again, it's another Saturday night podcast. By the way, tomorrow is Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day to all the moms. If your mom's still around, do something nice for her. And if she isn't, well, then do something nice for a mom that you know. Well, I finished a four-part series this past Thursday on receiving His abundance. And this podcast is a short recap from that teaching. And if you haven't heard the previous podcasts, you really ought to just stop this one and scroll down and listen to the first three Money Matters podcasts before you listen to this one. Well, we spent some time on Thursday really focusing on one verse. It's from Philippians chapter 4, familiar to a lot of people, verse 19. It says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." You know, one of the things that I pointed out was that while this is indeed a promise from God in the Bible, and there are a lot of promises from God in the Bible, but this one is set in the context of the great law of giving and receiving, which I covered in Money Matters Part 2. Now, I say that because there are some people who like to quote this verse or know this verse, "God shall supply all your need according to His riches," but they fail to recognize that it is referring to the law of giving and receiving. Tell you something else, there's a lot of commentaries about this verse and a lot of opinions, like a lot of things in the Bible. Ultimately, you know what? You have to decide what you want to believe. I do know this, that there are people that like to find reasons and excuses to dismiss what the Bible says. Those who do not believe either don't realize that they're not believing or don't want to admit that they're not believing, and so they justify their lives by coming up with some spiritual-sounding reasons why they don't receive from God. You know, "God is testing me. Oh, God has a reason for why He's doing this." You ever notice those reasons and excuses blame God for not fulfilling His word to them? You know, it's always something's wrong with God, or God's doing this, or God's doing that. You know, the Bible teaches that when we believe His promises, we receive. Jesus said, "Believing, you shall receive." Now, previously, we had looked at other places in the Bible where this great law of giving and receiving comes up, and regarding the second part of the law, the receiving part, we saw things like barns filled with plenty, your wine presses bursting out with new wine, open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, pressed down, shaken together, running over, reaping bountifully, multiply your seed sown, always having all sufficiency in all things, abound to every good work. Lots of abundance in the second part of that great law of giving and receiving. My point is that in other places when God's word talks about the law of giving, receiving, the receiving back is always in great abundance. So why should it be any different here in Philippians? It's not. But there are some people who simply do not accept that in verse 19 of chapter 4 of Philippians. Then, of course, if you teach that it's talking about great abundance, well, then you're labeled a prosperity preacher, or they say you're after people's money. You know something? In this chapter, Paul was commending the Philippians because they gave to him. But he clearly says, "It's not that I desire a gift, but I desire that fruit may abound to your account." Why would fruit abound to their account? Because they were operating this great law of giving and receiving. Now, of course, their gift helped Paul out, right? And I mean, it's biblical to give to those who are teaching you God's word. I mean, the Bible says that we ought to communicate or share with those teaching us God's word. It's kind of weird, isn't it, sometimes? We seem to have no problem if our favorite sports team has players who make millions of dollars every year, but, oh, if the minister gets a new pair of shoes, oh, wait a second here, what's going on? You know something, you can read in the Bible where Paul, I believe when he was in Corinth, he worked a job. I mean, it's too bad there weren't enough people around so that he could minister the gospel full time, but you know what, he did what he needed to do, didn't complain about it, he just did his best, but sure would have been nice if he didn't have to work a job, wouldn't it? So this verse here in Philippians, again, in the context of giving and receiving, for those who give, my God shall supply. The supplier is God, and He has an endless supply. And it says that He shall supply all your need, not maybe, not perhaps. He shall supply all your need. You know, the word supply means to supply to the full, not a couple of crumbs here and there. If you're familiar with the book of Colossians, it says you are complete in Him. The word complete is the same word as the word supply. You know, when it comes to spiritual blessings, Ephesians says we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. We have them to the full. We are complete and not lacking. Doesn't it make sense? If God didn't want us lacking spiritually, then why would we think that He wants us to lack physically or in any other category? The verse says that my God shall supply, fill up completely all your need, not part, not some, but all your need. And here's where some people start butting in. Well, yes, it says that, but God won't supply your greed. Oh, yes, it says He'll supply your need, but you need to be happy with what you have right now. You know something? Why don't you just butt out? This verse cannot mean that God is going to supply just what you barely need to survive. And I say that for two very good reasons. One, this verse is talking about God supplying, and He has a very long record of supplying abundantly all through the Bible. Do you think of one? How about the loaves and fishes? They had more leftovers than what they started with. There are many other examples of God supplying abundantly. And secondly, this verse cannot be talking about getting barely enough to get by, because this is in the context of giving and receiving. And everywhere else it talks about giving and receiving, it talks about the receiving back part in abundance. Now, I know there are a lot of well-meaning religious people that are just scared to death that you and I are going to get greedy. God's only going to supply what you barely need. Now, don't get greedy. Here's the bottom line concerning need. Everyone has to decide for themselves. I mean, let me ask you a question. I asked this question on Thursday. Do I need a Mercedes-Benz? Do I really need a Mercedes? Now, I don't have one, but I just asked that question. I know I need transportation, but do I really need a Mercedes? Well, if you think that I don't need a Mercedes, does that mean someone who does is greedy? And there's a good question to ponder. This word need means necessity, that which is necessary. For who? For you. It's your need. The verse says, my God shall supply your need. And your need may be different than mine. There's two extremes when it comes to this. One is greed. Absolutely. That's an extreme. But that's what people like to talk about the most. Don't get greedy. You need to be satisfied with what you have. You don't need this. You don't need that. God only supplies what you barely need or what you absolutely need. No frills. Boy, people are quick to point out what they think your greed is. You know something? You know if you're getting greedy and out of bounds. You know. It's between you and God. And you know something else? It's none of my business. That's right. Why are there so many people so concerned about everyone else's business? I don't know. But I know this. You know if you're getting greedy. But here's the problem with that. And a lot of people wrestle with this. We've been so bombarded for so long about not being greedy that some people end up expecting very little from our great abundant God. Now, the other extreme is when you just settle. You really would like to receive more. I mean, it would bless your life, but you just settle for what you have. Boy, and there's some people like that that are really on an ego trip. You know, oh, I'm just so humble. I don't need any worldly things. Oh, I can get by on a shoestring. I don't need things. As a matter of fact, you know, last week we had no food. And you know what happened? Oh, it was so wonderful. Someone, I didn't even know who they were. They gave me a can of corn. That's right, because God supplies my need. Really. From His great storehouse of unlimited riches, He gave you a can of corn? You know what? Maybe it's time for us to raise the bar. You think? The verse says that God will supply, fill to the full, your need. Your need, your necessity, what you need so that you're blessed, so that you're happy, so you can live your life for Him, so that you can show and demonstrate to others how great and wonderful your God is. And then the verse ends with, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's where the supply comes, according to His riches. You know what that means? We just cannot have a need that's too great for God to supply. Whether that's a physical need, a mental need, whatever the need may be, God has unlimited riches. You know, it says in Psalm 104, O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your riches. And how about that verse in Romans where it says, He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? This very popular verse in Philippians chapter 4 is in the context of those who operate the law of giving and receiving. And every other place you read about giving and receiving, the receiving back part is always abundant. And the same is true here. It's not greedy to expect to receive back from God abundantly. And always keep in mind that we don't give in order to receive. That's not our motivation. I mentioned in Money Matters 2, we give in recognition of our partnership with Him, recognizing that God is our supplier. We give as an act of trust. We trust Him to continue to supply. Our giving is something that we do in the five senses realm that demonstrates that He is first in our lives above all else. And when God is first, you give as a very real demonstration of your partnership with Him. You trust Him. He's first in your life above all else, and you demonstrate that by giving. Then you have His pledge, His promise, His assurance that all your needs will be fully and richly supplied. And because that is what He promised, then you can absolutely expect and look for those abundant blessings that He has promised, and find yourself consistently receiving His abundance. Well, that's it for this podcast. If you have any comments, go ahead and put them in down below. Love to hear what's on your mind. And remember, if you're a subscriber to this blog, well, you don't have to bookmark the site. Check back and see if I posted something new, because as a subscriber, you'll get notified personally every time I post something new. Doesn't cost you anything to subscribe. It's free. And if you do, as my way of saying thanks, I'll give you a free lifetime membership to my site, Enriching Your Life Now. There's a link with some information down below. Thanks again for listening. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. Until next time, this is Mike Verdicchio. Have a great day.